Hey, everyone. I'm Amy Standen, Ear Hustle's editor.
And I'm Rahsaan New York Thomas, Ear Hustle producer. And do you believe, Amy, they left us alone to kick off the fundraiser?
We better not blow it, Rahsaan. The stakes are high.
We're going to blow it. We just have to find new jobs, I guess. This is the second Ear Hustle fundraiser I've been here for, and I never knew how much the show relies on listener support.
It really, really does. From now through the end of this season in June, our goal is to reach 1,000 donors.
So, Amy, for folks who donate, should we tell them where that money goes?
Sure. These donations help fund our ongoing work, but also things like getting us into prisons where we've never been before. Like if you enjoyed our episode about the hospice program at CMF, or the ones we've done with the women we've been meeting at the world's largest women's prison, CCWF. And there's also some really cool behind-the-scenes stuff, like developing an Ear Hustle curriculum for high school teachers.
Listener donations support all of that. Plus, this year, supporters will be invited to join us for a virtual party on June 13th, and they get a playlist of songs picked by the team.
And everyone who donates $10 a month or more will get access to Ear Hustle Plus, which is our new subscription service with ad-free episodes and bonus content.
Find out more and donate at earhustlesq.com.
Listener support means so much to us. Thank you. Should we give the mic back to Nigel Nerland now?
Not yet. We just got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Rahsaan New York Thomas, a producer with Ear Hustle, and this episode contains language that is PG. That means parental guidance is advised because Nigel dropped the F-bomb.
Today is March 3rd, yes.
Wow, Friday, March 3rd. It's 9:15. And who's in the room right now?
Reggie,
Rashid,
Sadiq,
Tony.
And why are we here, Tony?
It sounds like a deposition.
So you're all invited today down to the Media Lab to participate in a very special Ear Hustle project that is not for everybody.
Nope.
Okay, we're going to explain what it is, and we wanted to come with people who are open-minded and creative and who would want to participate in it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to move it real close to talk about my excitingness. Yes, that's very exciting.
Bring all your sarcasm because it's only going to make this tape better.
So, trash, huh?
Trash.
Trash.
Okay.
Roland, you know one of the things that I really love about you?
My Colgate white smile, my chocolate skin tone.
Okay, well, there's all those things. But what I really treasure about you is that you are almost always so positive about everything, and you say yes right away, and you're enthusiastic. And so when you're not quite like that, I'm confused.
You're confused, you get worried.
I get worried. I'm like, what happened to the Earline I know? So I have to say, when we started talking about this, there was that kind of edge of maybe sarcasm and suspicion in your voice that I'm just not accustomed to.
Maybe it was I was really in deep thought about what I would produce.
Oh, maybe you had some shame or consternation around it?
Probably a little bit of all that.
So can you tell listeners what we're talking about, please?
Yep. At the beginning of March, the Ear Hustle team all gathered. Inside team in the Media Lab at San Quentin and the outside team at our studio at KQED to talk about a new project.
Yes, a new challenge that I was, of course, very excited about. So everybody should have the instructions in front of them. I'm going to ask New York to read the first paragraph.
Outside of prison, the average American produces 1,609 pounds of garbage a year, almost 4.5 pounds a day.
Every day, we leave behind evidence of our existence as seen through our waste. What does that say about what we need versus what we want? What can you learn about yourself, your interests, struggles, intentions, successes, and failures by looking at the things you discard?
And basic idea of it was that everyone on the team was going to save their trash, and I mean all of their trash, for 7 days. And then at the end of the week, we were all going to bring the trash into work and dig through it. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like an archaeological dig, basically to see what our trash says about us.
Whoa.
Yes, 7 days? For 7 days. Oh, Reggie's already, I can see his jaw going.
As soon as that mackerel pouch get open and you got to rinse it out. Yeah, that's putrid. Oh, man.
Erlon, can you tell people about those pouches, please?
Yes, I can. Well, in San Quentin, you can't have metal. Mm-hmm. So any food that you order from a catalog, it comes in the Mylar pouch. And mackerel is popular because it's cheap.
Oh, that's why?
That's why. It's like maybe a dollar.
Okay.
Everything else, oysters be like $2-3, you know, so.
Oh, okay. So it's cheap, and if you don't clean those pouches out.
Yeah, you're going to smell them, and it's going to be foul.
Foul.
So with that said, why are we doing this again, Nige?
Okay, fair enough. But the reason to do it is because trash is this great way to sort of examine who we are, you know, by what you throw out. If you look through your garbage, there's ways of sort of identifying how you think and what you care about and what disappointments you might have in your life and your wants versus your needs. It's like this treasure trove of self.
Here's our colleague Rasan New York Thomas again, reading those instructions.
What can you learn about yourself, your interests, struggles, intentions, successes, and failures by looking at the things you discard? This will also be a comparison between trash produced by those inside prison and those outside.
So here's who was on our team inside San Quentin. Reggie, who folks might remember from previous episodes, talking about what it was like to eat an orange after like a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm. And there was also Sadiq, who's kind of new to the Media Lab. Very cool, laid-back dude. And ear hustlers, Rashid and Tony.
And these cats were immediately worried about logistics, how they'd pull it off.
Remember, you have to save everything. So you're going to want to carry a collection bag with you.
Now you're going to get us beat up.
You're going to get us stopped by the CO. The
cop's going to be like, what is in that bag?
Not
like,
just the cops, the incarcerated people too.
I just think I'm going to have to store my trash down here.
I just have to double bag it. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
double bag.
When you go to the chow hall and the remnants that's left from your tray, you got to put that in a bag.
So the guys inside decided they were going to bring their trash down to the Media Lab every day.
Just so they didn't have to keep it in their cells, which are hella small.
I'm trying to imagine if somebody does have a cellmate, how are they going to explain to them, hey, I'm collecting garbage. Like, that's going to be, I could see that being a compatibility issue.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
I'm just so curious that you all think you're going to have that much garbage. I thought you guys would have a tiny amount of garbage. I assume one thing that we're going to discover is that inside a lot of the garbage is food-based and outside a lot of it's not.
Yeah.
I bet we make much more waste outside than inside.
I don't think so. We do.
Only reason I think we're going to have more because everything we get is packaged. We don't get to buy fresh anything. So if we get,
you know, Erlon, the guys inside San Quentin were so curious about this project. They were so positive, and it really touched my heart. I have to say, it actually made me a little bit teary. I was like, they get it. They get it.
You know, Nigel.
They see value in trash.
I hate to burst your bubble, Nigel. But when you're offering people in prison something to do, people jump in like, let's do it.
Yep, their minds and hearts are open to change. So, after all the grumbling among some of the members on the outside team, everybody agreed to sign on.
My name is Rasan New York Thomas, and I'm going to store my trash for 7 days. Yes.
My name is Bruce Baltimore Wallace, and I am going to store my trash for 7 days.
My name is Shubnam Sigman, and I am going to store my trash.
My name is Amy Sandin, and I am going to store.
My name is Rashid Zinnerman, sound designer for Ear Hustle.
My name is Darrell Davis. Everybody call me Sadiq, and I'm definitely in.
My name is Tony Tafoya, and I am in.
My name is Reginald Thorpe. Everybody call me Reggie, and the listeners out there, I encourage you to participate in this challenge, too. I think you will get something out of it. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be very interesting. This is probably going to be one of the most interesting projects I did since I've been incarcerated, probably in my life, just collecting garbage. I never thought about it.
What's crazy is every time we do projects that we collaborate with people on the outside, it makes me feel like we're a part of outside. You know what I mean? And so that's what I look forward to most, just that connection.
My name is Nigel Poor, and I'm going to store my trash for the next 7 days.
My name is Walter Woods, and I'm going to store my trash for the next 7 days. This is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Today is Tuesday, March 7th, and it's the first day of collecting trash.
Today is March 7th.
Today is March 7th, day one of the trash challenge. My name is Rashid.
Today is Tuesday, March 7th, the first day of collecting my trash, and I'm pretty excited. I threw out my first piece of trash by mistake. It was a Humble tissue, but I pulled it out of the garbage and put it into my collection bag. And I'm thinking about all of the trash adventures that are waiting for us all in these next 7 days. Yay, Ear Hustle Trash. Ear Hustle Trash Adventure begins.
All right, Erlon, do you want to know what I observed on the first day of trash collecting?
Yeah, what did you observe, Nigel?
Excitement in the air. All of a sudden, people that maybe were a little cynical were like talking about what was in their trash. There was like a little glint in people's eyes. And I was so happy. What do you think, New York? Do you think people are actually kind of laughing and having a good time with this trash thing?
I think this whole trash thing is hilarious. And so I'm trash talking about it.
Explain this new beverage that you created today.
Well, I was making a cup of tea and I couldn't find the water. And so I mistook the coffee kettle for the water pot. And I ended up putting coffee into my tea. And I didn't want to waste it. And it counts towards my garbage anyway. And so I tried this new concoction. And it tastes halfway decent. And I feel really energized right now.
I have to say, there's a little bit of madness in your eyes right now.
I might have had a bit too much caffeine.
While New York was making this new concoction, he instinctively grabs some of those little plastic creamer containers.
I just went for the little creamers that were on the side by the sugar.
No, don't go for those. Wait, where did you save all those containers?
So we see you right now. You just told on yourself, bruh. You let you talk for a little bit and you tell on yourself that you're throwing trash in the trash. All those little containers, huh?
I got to get into the habit now of saving all my trash, because that was an oversight. But I even thinking about it, just instinctively, right, I threw the little container away.
It's easy to do that.
Now Earl has to go back and get it for me. You got them little rubber gloves?
Okay. Back to work, perhaps.
Remembering to keep your trash was hard.
Yes.
You know, you had to, it was really an effort. You know,
you had to have a bag with you all the time.
All the time. And even guys on the inside, you know, they was having difficulties.
It is now 1:55 p.m. And I would say my day started fairly normal, except I forgot to save my oatmeal wrapper. So I had to go into the trash and put it into my little personal trash bag. So that was kind of disgusting. But I did it.
Today is Wednesday, March 8th, and it is the second day of the trash collection.
This is Tony again. He's one of our producers inside San Quentin.
This morning, I ate a banana and completely forgot that I had to save the trash and threw the peel away without even thinking about it.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of silly at the same time that I have to walk around with my trash early in the morning.
And here's Sadiq, also inside San Quentin.
And it's like, oh, I can't forget my baby, like forgetting my baby or forgetting my car keys or something. I got to remember to take my trash with me to work. It's kind of silly, but I like it.
And Amy, who's our editor for Ear Hustle, of course, you have those talents of making things flow nicely. And so you were busy finding some technicalities to help you reduce your trash load.
Definitely. So what I realize I'm doing is I will have my eye on some mess in the kitchen. And ordinarily I would just, you know, throw it in the garbage. But instead I'll just sort of stare at it like for a couple hours or even for a couple days and just hope that someone else in my house will pick it up and throw it out because I don't want to carry it around.
It does get a little fuzzy. Like Nancy and I, most of our trash is pretty shared. So what is hers? What is mine? My theory is that maybe, like, if I make dinner, she normally cleans up. So maybe I'll just make dinner and she'll be the one throwing it away so I don't have to hold on to it.
Are you keeping this a secret or telling people about it? Well, I can't keep it a secret because when I leave out my cell, people see the bag in my hand. And they asked me, like, man, what is that? That looked like trash. I was like, yeah, it is. I'm participating in a trash collecting challenge to see how much trash I accumulate each day. And they was like, man, you walking around with trash? You got banana peels? Yeah, that's what it is. That's what we do. You should try one day just to see how much trash you accumulate.
I'm not keeping it a secret. I felt like my security blanket was to inform everybody around me, hey, if you see me collecting trash, I'm in the Ear Hustle Trash Challenge, so don't be alarmed. We'll see. But day one, so far so good. So Rashid out.
Today is Wednesday, March 8th, and it's day number 2 of collecting trash. I cannot believe all the paper towels I use, especially when I'm at work. It's kind of crazy, and it's partially because I clean up after other people on the kitchen counter. That's funny. And then every time I wash my cup, I dry it with a paper towel. So I found myself washing my cup, then going into the bathroom and using the air dryer in there to dry things. So I use less paper towels.
Nigel, you go in the bathroom and dry things with the air thing?
I didn't want so many paper towels in my trash bag.
It's Bruce. Today is Thursday, the third day of the challenge. And one thing I'm noticing is that I always meant to be good about using the hand dryer instead of the paper towels in the bathroom at work. But now when I'm faced with a prospect of adding a few more things to my trash bag, I'm really becoming devoted to the air dryer, which I previously stayed away from because frankly some of them feel like they just blow old dirty water back in your face, but at least it's not a paper towel.
It's so interesting that people have a different tolerance for grossness. Like what someone finds gross, other people could care less about.
People find those pictures of hair coming out of sinks gross, Nigel. I'm glad that wasn't in your tray.
You know my hobby is pulling hair out of drains.
Who pulls hair out of the drain right after the shower?
If you got long
hair. Right after the shower?
Oh my God, so much hair comes out. Yes.
Serious?
Like I'd probably pull a clump of hair. I don't know how I have any hair left.
Wow. I mean, I just let it like pile up until Jeff like gets really mad that the shower's clogged up, but then he pulls it out.
This is Shabnam, our managing producer. She was working from home that day.
Jeff, you heard that, right?
See, we're already learning that I clean up after myself immediately, and Shabnam leaves it for her husband to clean up.
It comes out of my hand, and then I put it on the wall of the shower.
I do too. Yeah, it's a nice sculpture sometimes.
So after a few days, everybody was walking around with these bags, talking about them, and they had all this gross whatever in it. Dead skin cells, whatever.
Hair, nail clippings, and flossers. Teeth floss.
What's wrong with teeth flossers?
Oh, I love you, Erlon, but I don't like to see people flossing their teeth.
No?
No.
I don't see that as gross as pulling hair out of a drain.
Exactly.
Nigel.
Well, this is exactly what we're talking about. What is gross for one person is totally fine for another. And let me just say this. I hate seeing people floss teeth in public, but in private, of course, that's when you do it.
Is it gross that I reuse my flossers more than once?
I use them more than once, too.
Yeah,
it seems wasteful.
That's not right.
Expensive. No,
but they're all just, it's wasteful plastic.
Yeah, no,
I just throw it away. No, not me.
We're all so thrifty. Erlon, this was like
to me a sign that this project was going to be awesome. It was like a real bonding experience that 3 out of 5 of us reuse our floss. I feel like everything about this episode is proving my point. Trash is fascinating.
I, of course, am organizing everything. I've made 3 bags, and 1 bag is for trash, 1 is for compost, and 1 is just for coffee grinds. And at first, I was going to put stuff together, and then I realized, no, they need to have separate bags. And I put them in separate bags, and I wrote with Sharpie on the bag. And then I realized, no, I need to get a piece of tape so I can write carefully the day and what's on it. So I have, like, day number 1, March 7th, compost. Day number 1, March 7th, trash. Day number 1, March 7th, coffee. So I had to potentially waste bags so I could make it look better. This is the sound of my bags. Anyway, I'm loving this project, and I cannot wait to go into San Quentin tomorrow and hear what the guys inside are thinking.
3 days in, midweek check-in with 2 of the guys inside, Tony and Sadiq.
Yes. So we went into the media lab, and of course they had everything
laid out
for us. So we had 2 tables, and on it were discrete piles of people's trash. Well, the bags.
Right.
And then they were slowly pulling out.
What was what?
Their delightful garbage.
I have a Q-tip that I used.
He doesn't want to talk about.
Q-tips are private. I have a letter that I got returned to sender. It came back. I must have had the wrong address.
It's a waste of stamp.
I know. It was just a waste. It's all right. You know, I try again. And I have some hair in here that I had shaved from somewhere around here. It's on one of these tissue balls. Oh, here it goes right here. A lot of hair.
Oh, nice. Oh, look at all the hair in there.
Yeah, I kept it.
Oh, cool.
And some more ripped up envelopes and letters. And the inmate receipt. This is the receipt that you get when somebody sends you money on your books. And I always rip them up. I always throw them away. I don't ever keep them. I used to keep them a while ago.
Why did you change that?
I've been down so long, so now I have so much stuff accumulated over time. I just started ripping it up, getting rid of it.
Well, I have to say, what I noticed when you were going through it is you handled it so gently with so much respect.
I didn't even realize that.
Sadiq had a green pepper stem and some meat packages. And that's how I learned that he was the main chef down in the media lab.
So I cooked. I cooked for everybody back here. So it's a lot of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love cooking. It's my passion. So I'm always cooking something. Even if I don't want to cook, I still end up cooking.
What did you make for everyone?
So I made burritos. I made burritos for everybody.
Where did this cooking thing come from?
Watching my mom and my stepdad and my auntie, they always used to cook, and I just love cooking. Mm-hmm. I used to watch all the cooking shows. Like right now, tonight, Next Level Chef come on, so I can't wait to go watch that. And this was a miss you letter, I love you letter that I sent to the mother of my child to show my gratitude towards her. You know, she takes care of my daughter. She comes up here to visit, and I'm just appreciative of everything she do. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that, you know, I have people that can help me with things. And because it is a struggle sometimes, the way they feed you here, it's not really plentiful and fulfilling. So I am thankful for that.
People trash inside, just like out here.
Mm-hmm.
It reveals what kind of support they have on the outside.
Erlen, I love it. You know? You are finding the deeper meaning in the trash now. So what does it reveal?
So you might see some that have, let's say, state graham crackers in there.
Mm-hmm.
State graham crackers, state this, state that. That means that they probably don't have support in society, you know, that's sending stuff in. But then you might see Snickers, certain candies that they don't have on the inside. You can only get through packages.
Yeah.
So you can really tell, you know, through the trash, how people are maintaining inside.
And I think trash sometimes also reveals something essential about who a person actually is.
What I saw in it was that you're a caregiver because you said you like to cook for people. And there was a lot of evidence of that because there were so many pouches. So you must think about other people's needs, not just your own. And then you explained what that card was, and that was also about gratitude.
about having gratitude for somebody who's helping you out. So that's what I saw. I saw gratitude in someone who likes to be a caregiver.
Thank you.
I noticed this funny, like, bunch of balled up tape inside of Tony's trash.
Like, what do you mean?
Like all squished together.
Hmm. I play with tape all day long. I have since I was a child. I think it's a calming mechanism. I'm not sure, but you'll see a lot of tape.
What do you do with it?
I just tack it until it doesn't feel right anymore. Then I just throw it away. It's like a weird calming sensation.
Self-soothing tool.
Yeah. And every single time I see a tape dispenser, like no matter where I'm at, I always take someone's tape and they're always confused.
So Bruce, this story reminds me of something that you do that we learned about during the challenge.
Right. Right. You must be talking about the very specific situations when I chew gum.
Yes.
Which is not like a thing I do in my normal life, but I do whenever I'm confronted with anything vaguely medical involving me. Like if it's somebody else, I'm fine. But if it's like just a regular checkup with a doctor, I need to chew gum to quell some anxiety.
Actually, I can see as you're talking, you're getting anxious. Do you remember the first time that you put gum and anxiety with medical things together?
Yeah, well, I think there are two things. The first one, and maybe the more acute one, is needles, a fear of needles, which I didn't actually always have. I developed kind of like late teens, early 20s, and I think what did that was this moment. I was involved in the environmental club at school and high school, and I was going through a bunch of recycling to sort it with the faculty advisor for that. And he found a needle, and I guess being like a responsible adult, he wanted to take care of it, and so he like tried to break the tip of the syringe off and the needle ended up going into his finger. This was like the early 90s. So of course we immediately thought, oh, well, you've just contracted HIV or like who knows what you caught. I feel like that's definitely the start of my fear of needles. And it made needles feel a lot more potent and dangerous than they had before. Also around the same time in high school, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. You know, in high school, you feel it's hard to picture anything kind of that cataclysmic if you haven't been through it before. So I think, you know, when I heard that, I was like, okay, that's bad, but he'll be fine. Everybody's like saying he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. And then I spent like a lot of high school in hospitals. And so now I feel like any sort of medical setting sets me on edge. Yeah. And, you know, he did die when I was 20, so a few years later. So now I feel like even if you think you're in a medical condition and you're fine, a medical situation, a medical setting, could very well be in badly.
Yeah. I can see how you would tie those two things together, seeing the teacher do something with the needle and then your dad.
I tend to like spiral a little bit very quickly. I'm like, oh my God, it's cancer.
So you assume the worst in any medical situation?
Yeah.
And then the gum comes in as a relaxant?
I think the chewing distracts me and like the sugar somehow helps a little bit. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I've always sort of like gum has helped me feel a little more confident.
And you know what? Bruce is going to be chewing a lot of gum by the end of this episode.
That's for sure. We're going to take a quick break.
And we'll be right back.
I'm Shankar Vedantam, here to tell you about a great mystery. That mystery is you. As the host of a podcast called Hidden Brain, I explore big questions about what it means to be human. Questions like, where do our emotions come from? Why do so many of us feel overwhelmed by modern life? How can we better understand the people around us? Discover your hidden brain. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
This is Reggie coming back to y'all. It's day 5 of the trash collecting challenge. I've never done this before, and I'm actually shocked by how much trash I've accumulated today. I am embarrassed on how much food I'm consuming. I thought that I was eating quite healthy when I'm starting to realize that I'm not eating as healthy as I should be for my age. I'm 47 years old. I eat too damn much, period. I consume too much food and I'm starting to get fat. I'm out of shape. I'm eating compulsively too, rather than just subsiding my hunger.
Trash doesn't lie, Erlon. Some hard truths come out, and it can actually force us to confront aspects of ourselves we might not be that comfortable with.
Well, I mean, trash doesn't have to snitch on you, Nige, if you don't want it to.
I think I'm going to have the least amount of trash.
I think you are.
Because, again, I believe in the earth. You know, I believe that we should watch our footprint. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, I'm glad that y'all doing this so y'all can see the impact that y'all have on the world.
Did you know that Erlon was an earth warrior?
I'm an environmentalist.
I'm going to call bullshit.
What?
I think Erlon is not having breakfast because he doesn't want to carry his trash around.
I think so, too. But let's let him believe that he is an earth first warrior.
Today is March 12th, 2023, and it's Oscar Sunday! Yay! I'm so excited. I have so much stuff I'm going to eat today, and you should see the trash pile that's going to be here tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait for you guys to see it.
This is Tony. He's the tape soother, and this is the biggest day of the year for him.
Red carpet.
I've been doing this since I was like a teenager. I have little Oscar parties. But it's not like the big ones that you see on TV where everyone like gets dressed up. It's just myself.
So I love to visualize this. I mean, the cells at San Quentin are so small. So Tony's whole party is just on his bunk. He's got his little TV there at the foot of his mattress. And all his food is spread out on his bunk like a buffet.
And he's been stockpiling treats for weeks.
And this year I'm going to have Oreos. Which is it's going to be the whole thing of Oreos. I will eat the whole 60 cookies or whatever. I will have a Milk Duds thing, which a 10-ounce Milk Duds. a Dr. Pepper, which is the bottles, like the ones you would buy at 7-Eleven. I've got some of the Turkey Chilorio, and so that's going to be there. I'm probably going to do that with rice and vegetables. Starts at 10 a.m.,
Oh, you're going to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I watched the whole, even the local ABC 7 stuff all the way until like 9 o'clock at night.
And it's on regular TV? It's not on...
Yeah, it's on ABC. Oh, okay. So it's on just over the air.
And you're only inviting one person to this party?
Me. I'm not even inviting my cellmate.
It is March 10th, and I am microwaving my coffee grounds because I don't have time to wait for them to dry.
So, Amy, you should probably explain why you are microwaving your coffee grounds, please.
Well, because, of course, we're carrying our compost around mm-hmm. all week, right? And I had seen on your desk, like the day before, at work, we make coffee, like for the whole office, big basket, you know, coffee filter at a time. And I had seen that you did this and you had put it out on your desk and I couldn't figure out why you had done that. And it took me a while, but I realized you were drying it out because then it doesn't create this like big, wet, soppy mess that you have to carry around for a week. So I thought, I know, I'll do it. I'll put it in the microwave. And so that's why I was microwaving my coffee filters.
And FYI, the microwaving did nothing.
March 11th, day five, and this is Sadiq checking in. I eat a lot of junk at times, like I would go on a little spurt of eating a lot of snacks, and then I just stop. Then I go back to eating regular food, then I go back to snacks. So this bag has a lot of snacks in it. A lot of bags. I ate 3 bags of potato skins, cheddar and sour cream, and TGI Fridays, all in one sitting.
Yesterday, I made myself something like special with a chicken pouch and a top ramen. And okay, so I'll just do the recipe. It's a chicken top ramen, some jalapeno Snyder pretzels, and this is what's going to be gross, is a mango Kool-Aid. And so I have all that inside my little trash bag right now. And it's funny to look at that because it makes me happy to know that it was a comfort food that I got from County, where you just make spreads out of whatever you have. It makes me smile knowing that I kind of got to go back to my young days in my 20s. Yeah. Early 20s.
Day 6. This stuff.
Where is that stuff? Stinks.
Man, I'm really doing the trash collection cat challenge. It's going straight in the bag, bro. It's real. It's food, unconsumed items up in here. Bananas, whole bananas, orange peels, seafood pouches, stuff that really stinks. This is an Oscar the Grouch bag.
I hadn't really thought about this with the project, but what's clear is that the trash reveals things about individuals, but it also speaks to the institution that you're involved with. When you're at a place like KQED, it's really different. Like, people's trash is made up of the free snacks that they have here and all the LaCroix cans. Mm-hmm. And people are very interested in separating their trash. So there's recycling and compost and garbage. A very different kind of institution than a prison.
Yeah, there's no composting in prison.
Oh, shocking. But what about recycling?
Nah, the way it works is everyone just throws their trash into these bins on each of the tier. And then later, somebody who's on the trash crew comes through and pulls out the recyclables. And then, I've heard, some lucky CO takes that big bag home and cash it in. Ching, ching.
Looking at my trash, I'm starting to learn about my environment that prison does what's easy. How can it be done in an efficient manner as far as passing food, distributing food? I see most of the plastic make things efficient and more faster to do rather than just passing out raw food items like bread, those packagings. Make it more easier for them to distribute food inside prisons. And I just think about myself and the stuff that I'm accumulating. I could just imagine it's hundreds, over thousands of people in this institution, and they probably accumulating just as much trash as I am.
It's day 7 of the trash challenge, and I'm putting my last piece of trash, I think my last piece of trash, into my collection. It's a plastic zip tie used to secure a hair clip that I bought from Target for Cora and put in her Christmas stocking.
Monday, March 13th, seventh day of collecting trash. I'm happy, sad that it's over. Been actually quite interesting because it really has made me think about how much I consume and what I'm responsible for and what I need versus what I want. And I found myself, even in just 1 week, actually using less because I didn't want to have to deal with the garbage that I produced. Happy last day of collecting.
So we collected our garbage for 7 whole days. Then we had 2 reveals, one inside of San Quentin and then one at our outside studios in San Francisco.
Yes. So on the day of the big reveal, we actually all gathered in the recording studio.
Shh.
I know, with our garbage.
Snitching on us.
So there was Bruce, Amy, Shubnam, New York, you and me, six people with 7 days worth of garbage bags. And eventually we spread it all out on the table here and dug in.
I'm Amy Standen. I am the show's editor, and I have some trash to show you.
What were your first thoughts when you heard about this project? What'd you think?
I am a little obsessive about garbage. It's an eccentricity, not one I'm super proud of.
Yeah.
So I immediately knew it was going to plug into some of my weirdnesses around on this topic. Like I can't, it's hard for me to see compost in the recycling bin or like trash in the recycling bin. I worry a lot about like contaminating the waste streams. It's the one of the few ways in which I'm a little uptight. I don't know what it is. It's a weird, I don't know if it's a control thing. And I'm not like that on
no,
any
you're not.
Other subject. It's something about
wait,
trash.
Wait, were your parents like this?
No. Probably about something else. I don't know.
Have you discussed this with
in
a professional?
No.
He wasn't Bruce actually has this about him. I noticed from traveling with him, he also really likes to make sure everything's set. I've seen him go through the garbage and pull things out.
Yeah, you know what? I think I have a lot of friends that does this. And you know, I think they're all in the white community.
Wow, it's a white thing.
Because we mix our shit.
It might be. So, Ms. Standen.
Yes?
Court is now in session. You had the most trash.
Okay, I had the second to most trash after New York, who is starting.
Is there a lawyer here that's going to object?
A whole new apartment. It's true. I had a fair amount of trash. Mm-hmm. But in my defense, I threw a party for you guys. Remember?
Oh, whoa, deflecting.
Remember?
Oh, my goodness.
You all came to my house to celebrate Bruce and Nancy's new baby, and we had takeout, and all of that takeout came in.
That was like one
boxes.
Pizza box, right? Yeah. A pizza box.
Mm, yeah, no, that is true.
Come on, Shubnam, cut it out.
Believable.
This is not.
This is honest.
Bruce, can you introduce yourself?
Shubnam Sigmund, managing producer.
Shubnam, come on.
Okay, if you had to guess, how much do you think your garbage weighs?
A pound, maybe? A couple pounds?
I cannot believe how discreet your garbage is.
It's almost like it's nothing but like little quiche.
Are you shocked at how little you have?
Seven days?
I'm not shocked.
This is 7 days.
It's totally honestly
this
7 days.
This is representative of...
Yeah, we don't have a lot of trash.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you not buy things that come in packaging?
We try really hard not to. Yeah.
Do you know what's something that I discovered?
What?
Both you and I clean up after people.
That's true.
Yes. And a lot of my trash turned out to be paper towels.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So tell me what your cleaning process is here.
It bothers me to see a counter or a sink area that has water and soap and just stuff all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Bits of food. Part of me thinks, why can't people just wipe up after themselves? But the other part of me is always like, well, I should just do it. Because, I don't know, if I were the cleaning person, I would hate to show up and be like, wow, they're such slobs.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something about the visual simplicity of it that is relaxing.
Yeah, I do think having less clutter around is less stressful for me. At home, I tend to be the person who picks up or puts things away, but it doesn't bother me if like things haven't been deep cleaned forever. Like I'm not the cleaner.
Yeah.
I just don't like stuff like
the
in
stuff.
The wrong place.
Yeah.
It's just bothering the field of vision, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, New York.
Son.
What are you doing right now?
Putting on these gloves because it's about to get messy.
Did you feel like any embarrassment or like uncomfortableness saving your garbage?
There were times when I felt weird carrying trash around. I went to a comedy club this weekend. I felt kind of weird carrying trash out of the club with me.
What did you take out of the club?
Scrap food, whatever, you know, trash, napkins, little bull crap. I had a little plastic, a little Ziploc bag. So it just felt weird carrying around trash.
Yeah. Well, I respect the dedication.
Yeah, and hoping nobody think I'm crazy.
So we did this project at the beginning of March, which was only a couple weeks after New York had gotten out of prison. So Earlonne, in some ways, he was at a disadvantage because he had these really big pieces of trash from, like, you know, one-time purchases, all the things that you
TVs
get when you're starting.
And yes. Shit and all everything that you get in bulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was starting over.
But he was also in that window where after you get out of prison, everybody want to take you out to get something to eat. So so he probably had less cooking at home trash, like, you know, chicken wrappers.
Yes, but he actually showed us trash from the first dinner he made for himself after he got out.
I made salmon croquettes last night on my own. No help, no guidance, just me in the kitchen, and they were delicious.
How you doing?
It was delicious.
Did you make this for someone else or just yourself?
No, I was the only one around. So just me. Nobody made it for me.
He was self-sufficient.
I was self-sufficient. Put ketchup on it, as always, my favorite condiment. I took it to my room. And I ate it while I was working on the computer. One hand on the computer, another hand on a fork. My side dish was grapes. So I got a little lazy on the side dish. So I ate the grapes and that was it. Drunk some water. That was it. It was delicious.
Well, thank you, New York, for participating.
I'm not sure if you're welcome, Notch. But thank you.
Bruce start unloading his bags, and right away, it's clear that there's something different.
So the night before the challenge, I decided to do a fair amount of cooking and free stuff for the week so I wouldn't generate that trash during the 7 days we were keeping our trash.
Smart!
The next morning, the, like, dishes were piled up. One of those glasses fell into the sink, and instead of letting it just fall and shatter, I went to catch it, and it ended up with part of that glass jar in my fingers. Yeah, so I ended up at the ER because it wouldn't stop bleeding and it was pretty deep and it sort of lost feeling. I still don't have feeling in it. So the first day of the 7 days of trash, I spent 5 hours in the ER.
So Bruce sat down and started pulling all of this stuff out of a plastic bag.
Oh, gosh, you bled a lot.
Those were all the paper towels before I got to the emergency room. And I was the first, yeah, and I ended up, one of those I ended up at the ER with, and when they were checking me, and they're like, oh, you can just throw that out. I was like, no, I actually have to keep it. And she's like, no, throw it out. It's like, no, I have to keep it. So that was the only piece that I actually told somebody at the hospital I had to keep, and then this was the rest of it that I squirreled out. There was a long time when I was just sitting in a back room. So this was
bleeding out.
Bruce, I feel like you committed to this so deeply. Wait a minute, I hear metal. Whoa, it still has blood on it. And how much gum were you chewing?
I chewed 2 pieces of gum.
And finally, dun da da, it's Earlonne's turn to reveal. I see that face you're making.
Oh, shit.
All right, Earlonne, your turn.
My turn? Oh, shit, this is going to be simple.
So right now, Earlonne is looking around the room for his trash.
Hey, this is one of them. It might just be these two. Here I am with my trash.
Was it as awful doing it as you thought it would be? Was there anything that surprised you? Any garbage that surprised you?
The little cuties. I be knocking them cuties down. I got cuties all in my pocket like it's money. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about you knock them down wherever, whoever house you at, you see some cuties.
Why are there cuties everywhere?
I don't know. Everybody like them. They cute. Because it's only like, a fourth of an orange?
Well, let's see what you got here, my friend.
Of course, when this thing started, I started being mindful of what my trash was about to be. My first thing I'm coming out with.
You're outing yourself?
What?
Are you on a diet?
So this is an Atkins low-carb living life. You know what I'm saying?
When did you start eating Atkins food?
When this challenge started. I told you I was mindful.
Mindful because you were trying to lose weight or because you wanted to express to the world that you eat
low-carb? I'm low-carbing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it working?
I gotta see what else is in your trash.
And then, of course, I got a little cutie right here. And then, you know, my Atkins bowl that I washed out.
Nice. So that's one day.
That's one bag. Oh, shit.
Huh. Now, this is interesting.
It's interesting, but I have a million little trees.
You had a bundle of little tree fresheners. You know, they kind of look like felt.
Well, right here. And they still smell like trees. I think I might have took them out too soon.
But why do you have like one, eight two, of them?
Three, four, five, six. Only six. One of them is hella big.
Why do you have six tree fresheners?
The story behind this is Tyra had a cool smell in her car. And it was because of the little Christmas trees. So as a shout out to her, I just get this same type of smell.
Mm. And Tyra, as listeners may know, is someone who you were really close to, Earlon, who died last year.
Yes, she did. So I always keep these in the car. So every time I see them in certain places, I just get a gang of them and throw them in the glove compartment.
Can I smell one? They still,
ooh, shit.
Yeah, that's what your car usually smells like.
And that's it. That's my life.
Well, for someone who didn't want to do it, you did a pretty good job. And but what does that say about you, that you didn't want to do it?
Because this is like a fraudulent attempt, you know? And I told you that from the beginning. I was mindful of what I did, so I didn't do trash when I was like, nope, not going to do that. That's going to create trash. I'm good.
Yeah.
I pass on that.
Well,
so I was very mindful in this whole process.
You learn anything about yourself doing it?
If I be mindful, I can lose weight, because guess how much weight I lost?
How much? 8 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Four.
Four. But wait, why did you lose 4 pounds doing this?
I was mindful. No McDonald's in here. There's none of the junk food.
Wait, but because you didn't want to keep it, or you didn't want people to see it?
Nah, because I didn't want to keep it. I didn't want to keep McDonald's bags. You know, you leave out there with trash.
Yeah. And no beer? Just two bottles
of wine.
No beer.
I'm not like really a beer drinker like that, unless it's just like if I quit smoking weed, then I'll become a beer drinker.
But it looks like you didn't smoke a lot of weed this week.
No, so what I did was I smoked a lot of bongs.
And this was just so you wouldn't have garbage?
It's a method to this madness over here, Naja. I was walking light for these last 7 days.
Your garbage is somehow delightful.
Drum roll, please, because we have the queen of trash.
I would love to wear a crown for that. Thank you.
I'm going to say that Nigel has everything labeled, dated, and in their own sections.
Every day has garbage, compost, and coffee.
Garbage, compost, and
coffee. So,
damn. So what I'm seeing, shit, the Ziploc industry just came up. They had a great customer here.
The one thing I could say about me is I may have produced more garbage to house my project than anybody else.
Yes, you did, because you literally had a whole box of Ziplocs for this project.
And I had to, after a couple of days, I had to redo every bag so they would be exactly the same, because I ran out of bags. And when I bought new bags, they said Hefty on it, so I had to go back and reorganize some of the projects so it would all be the same.
This is a problem here, Nigel. You couldn't be Mitch Mack. You had to have all
Hefty?
They
had to be the same. Yeah. So
routine.
Yeah, I love a routine.
So wait a minute, which one should we do? Which should we do first? Because the compost looked like you got a lot of compost. So technically, you got 21 bags right there.
So I don't think actually, Earlon, I had a ton of trash, or maybe I feel that way because it was actually so pretty and well organized. I mean, I had tender feelings towards it, so it wasn't like I mind keeping it.
Nice.
Yes.
You had a ton of paper towels. And you had a Diet Coke for each day.
Yeah, but did you notice how I squished it down and made it small? And I definitely had 7 popsicle sticks, because I have a popsicle every night. I had some used up bottles of, like, you know, beauty lotion.
Right.
I stuck a few rings in there that I was getting rid of. So, yeah, I mean, I did have some, but it was not a ton.
It was
well curated.
Well, yeah, it was definitely well curated. And all the bags were labeled with a Sharpie.
When I see this, the organization of it, I find very soothing. So it feels like there's some maybe sense of control about stuff.
But do it feel like hoarding?
No, it actually makes me happy and makes me relaxed.
Really?
Yeah. Because I can see everything. Everything has a date. It focuses my brain, I think, from just being all over the place to see stuff cataloged. It's like everything goes in its place and it feels like the world is right then. You know what I mean? Like it's a small way to make the world feel okay.
So next up was supposed to be the big San Quentin Inside Team Trash reveal.
That's right. Let me point out what you just said. Supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I think, Bruce, I think they misunderstood what you told them.
Yeah.
Because this is all the trash they have. Yeah, this is all they have between the two of them.
Yeah, so we got rid of, yeah.
So it's a little tough here. All right, Bruce, so can you just tell us what happened?
Okay, so what I remember, the plan was to do the outside trash reveal, I believe, on a Monday, and then the next day, on a Tuesday, we'd go in and do the inside trash reveal. There were a number of circumstances, which there always are, that led to us not being able to go in that Tuesday. So we called into San Quentin, and I said, if there's anything in the trash that the three of you have gathered that's going to be, like, disgusting, you can throw that out, just document it. Keep the rest of your trash. So then we went in the following Monday, the three of us, expecting there to be like a fair amount of trash, you know? But it turns out that they had basically threw out everything except like a few pieces of selective, nicely curated trash.
I think Nigel was like,
I will admit it, I was pissed. I was trying to not look mad, but I was like, what the fuck? And I wasn't blaming Bruce. I mean, I knew it got lost in translation. It took me a minute to recover. But what it did give us was, as you said, nicely curated trash to deal with. So it ended up working, but it was one of the few times I thought I was going to lose my temper inside.
To me, it felt like, oh, yeah, of course. Like every time we go in there, there's some lost in translation. Somebody's not there. That's just like the nature of it in there. But this one, for some reason, struck you more, even though you've been in there for whatever. How many years?
You're exactly right. I should be totally used to that stuff happening. And I try to be, but... But I will admit, I was like, how could this be?
It was actually Reg's trash that was smelling.
It was Reg's trash.
So I kept it 100. I really kept my trash, though. I didn't throw nothing out. Okay. It was, and even in the cell, was thinking, I was thankful that I was able to bring it down here and drop it off on y'all, to be honest with you. Oscar the Grouch would have thought that was perfume, the way that he would have been juiced. Like, give it to me.
So we just had to ask them to describe what all the trash looked like before they threw it out. And it was a lot, like way more than the trash any of us on the outside team had.
It filled up a trash can.
A 50-gallon trash can.
Yeah, so.
And how did you throw it all out?
Into a 50-gallon.
Just one? You put everything in one?
In one giant 50-gallon trash can.
But Tony, Sadiq, and Reggie had each kept a little bit of trash, so we got an idea of what had been in those bags.
Oh, wow. Can you describe what that looks like?
So, yeah, it's this weird contraption that I had never seen anywhere else until I came here. It's like foil and plastic. And you can kind of pop the piece. You can pop the medication out. And it's probably the size of a book, like a hardcover book. It's got my name on it. And it's got fluoxetine, which is generic for Prozac.
The front is orange, so it looks kind of festive. Like there's going to be some treat in there.
Yeah.
It's a party. It's a party.
Yeah, it looks
drug.
Like a... Well, no. Drug. It looks like candy, or it looks like an advent calendar.
Yeah.
It looks like an advent calendar. Yeah. And then it's got, I guess, maybe it's your CDCR number on it, and it says where you live, North Block, San Quentin. So this is made specifically for prison.
Yes.
And isn't there any other use you could have for this?
You know what they're really good for? Stopping the door from slamming when it's really windy in North Block.
Whose toothbrush is that?
Oh, that's mine.
Wait, it's barely used. Why'd you throw it out?
So,
It's like 3 months in, so I got rid of it and I got a new one.
It's like I look at that toothbrush and I could think of a bunch of stuff I would do with it.
Yeah.
Would you reuse it?
Yeah, I would reuse it. Well, first I would use it longer because I'm definitely cheap about toothbrushes.
I use mine to clean the towel. When I dust the floor, I use it to get all the loose hair, pieces of dust. I get it all off with the old toothbrush.
I have brought a brand new toothbrush to brush my beard. I was brushing my beard. I have it back here. Matter of fact, that I always brush my beard in the morning. It's not grown out right now, but I still use it a little bit.
I mean, you just got one or you got a couple of them together?
I just have one.
Tony, you look so...
Eyebrow brush.
A what?
An eyebrow brush.
I use mine to clean my clippers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you see all these uses over here.
Yeah, all these uses, and I just threw it right on the way.
You can make a shake out of them, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other
things. No, that's the old school.
Yeah, that's
New York City.
And finally, it was Reggie's turn to reveal his trash. And you know what, Erlon? I feel like he and I are kindred spirits.
I do too.
He was so committed to this project.
Not just committed. He can get real, like, descriptive.
Oh, he's into it. Introspective.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn anything about yourself from collecting all this garbage?
I eat too damn much. I need to cut back on. And people been commenting on my stomach talking about that you look like you obese right there. They like, dude, you built like a dad now. You got that uncomfortable dad body, like you gonna show up at a PTA meet that any time.
So what you learned? What you learned is that you eat too much.
I eat too much, and I'm accumulating too much plastic.
What do you think Reggie's trash says about him?
That Reggie just... I don't know. Reggie just... I don't know. Reggie's wild. Reggie's wild, man.
Reggie's dedicated to the cause.
Yeah, he is.
Whatever the cause is, if he's on it, he's dedicated.
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
Yeah. That's what I think, yeah.
100%. 110% he's going to do it.
And I would think that your trash would be all kind of like, wah! Kind of like crazy.
If you would have opened that bag, you would have smelled like that noise. Do it again, that noise.
Wah!
That's what it would have smelled like.
Yeah. Well, just because you get super excited about, it's like very passionate about anything that we talk to you about. So I'd imagine any project you would be passionate about. And so your trash was like abundant and passionate trash. And when you look at your trash, what does it say about the life that you're living right now?
Wasteful, gluttonous, and I'm clearly not thinking about myself or the future. I'm just thinking about right now and how I can satiate whatever that need is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel that too, because when it's there, I just eat it. Like these TGI Friday chips, I ate 3 bags just in one sitting, just sitting there, just laying on my bunk, just eating the chips over and over and over because it's there. And I feel like I take things for granted by just eating the things that I get, that my people take care of, send in to me. And I'm not looking at the fact that they out there working hard for this stuff and I'm just wasting it by eating it all up. And it kind of is like, it plays with me now because I'm looking at these things that I've just eaten and they sat there and bought all this stuff and they wonder why I'm always asking for more things. Like, why do I need it? And I just bought it for you. Because I'm wasting it. And it kind of shows where I'm at in my life.
What do you think, Reg?
What came up for me is my unresolved insecurities. I grew up, I was skinny most of my life. And at times I was in a household where it wasn't enough food to eat. And I recall during my childhood, the first time I went to the refrigerator and I opened it and it wasn't nothing in there to eat and I closed it and I went outside and played, came back 30 minutes later and opened it and it still wasn't no food in there. That trauma sat with me, but it was so painful I put it in the back of my mind and I never addressed it. And I'm coming to realize that my insecurities about my weight and my size is showing through my food consumption. I don't want to be without. Just having food and eating it whenever I want to, I'm comfortable with that. And I need to get out my comfort zone and address that insecurity that I have with my weight and with food. I never went back and grabbed that little boy and told him, it's all right, we got plenty of food now. Even though I'm in prison, I still need to go back and deal with that trauma.
So, Erlan, this is why I love doing these projects. I love the group dynamic of it. And I love how everyone on the team rallies around something and you get excited about it and you learn about people's personalities. Erlan, I know this is hard because we know each other really well.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, did you learn anything new about me?
Yeah. You have a popsicle every night before you go to sleep.
That's surprising, isn't it? I don't look like a popsicle eater, but
not every,
I am.
Not every night.
I know. But, you know, I think beyond what we learned about people on the team, what I really like best about doing these challenges is the way it connects us with the guys inside. And like we do something together and we get excited about together. And at that time when we're doing these, it's like we're speaking the same language. And
you know what I'm surprised about?
What?
That a lot of people really enjoy doing this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might think that it's a weird idea. But then, like, oh, everybody into this shit. All right, maybe yeah. I was wrong. Maybe yeah. I was wrong. I was looking at it wrong.
If you're interested in doing your own trash challenge alone or with a group, please go to earhustlesq.com.
Click on the trash episode where you will find a link to our trash challenge user guide. We got a trash challenge
user guide? Yes, and we're very excited about it. Do not put it down, my friend, please. Ear Hustle is produced by me, Nigel Poor, Erlan Woods, Bruce Wallace, Amy Standen, and Rahsaan New York Thomas.
With help from Neroli Price and Tony Tafoya inside of San Quentin. This episode was sound designed and engineered by me, Erlan Woods, and Darrell Sadiq Davis, with help from Fernando Aruda.
It features music by David Jossi, Antoine Williams, Erlan Woods, and Darrell Sadiq Davis.
Amy Standen edits the show. Shebnam Sigmund is our managing producer, and Bruce Wallace is our executive producer.
Thanks to Acting Warden Oak Smith, and as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle has to be approved by this woman here.
I am Lieutenant Giamare Berry, the Public Information Officer here at San Quentin State Prison, and I approve this episode.
This episode was made possible by the Just Trust, working to amplify the voices, vision, and power of communities that are transforming the justice system.
And please don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, The Lowdown, where you can learn more about each episode and find out what the Ear Hustle team is up to. Subscribe at earhustlesq.com/newsletter. You can also find out more about the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ear Hustle SQ.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, creator-owned, listener-supported podcasts. Discover audio with vision at radiotopia.fm. I'm Erlan Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, what is that? It's your wedding ring.
Hey, why did you say that on the mic, Nigel? It's Erlan.
And Nigel.
Here again, reminding you to donate to our spring fundraiser today so we can keep bringing you more Ear Hustle.
Everyone who donates will be invited to our virtual party on June 13th. If you've never been, it's a fun time where we talk about the season and answer some of your questions live. Uncensored, live.
And I will be on the hologram so y'all can see me.
3DE.
On Zoom. Every donation, any amount, will help us reach our goal. So please go to earhustlesq.com to learn more and please contribute.
Thank you.
If you can find it in your heart, in your pocket, in your wallet, in the couch.
Radiotopia.